Let me start that again. We've been going through the fruits of the Spirit, if you haven't noticed, and we have come to the third fruit of the Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, actually the fourth fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. This is one of my favorite fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Greek word is makrothumia. It's translated patience, but I'm going to give you what I believe is a better English word than patience alone. This fruit is the fruit that enables believers to be long-suffering with others. Let me take you to the original word. Makrothumeo is the word. Actually, I have this as my email, makrothumia@gmail.com, because when I saw a revelation that this is how the Lord wanted me to be, to suffer long. Makro is the Greek word for long, and thumeo is the Greek word for passion. So it's like having a long passion, being able to suffer long. Hupomeno is another word sometimes translated patience, but it more has the idea of endurance. I read this in a commentary. I'll just read this definition. While hupomone, for endurance, is the temper which does not easily succumb under suffering, makrothumia is the self-restraint which does not hastily retaliate for a wrong. Let me redefine that for you just briefly by saying this. Next slide. Endurance involves staying power to remain under circumstance. Whether it's finances, whether it's difficulty at work, whether it's a lot of responsibility, whether it's physical issues, you need endurance to stay encouraged or stay faithful under difficult circumstances. That's the word hupomeno. But long suffering is personal. And it involves the ability to suffer pain from your relationship with people. Because what a lot of us do when we get into a relationship that's difficult, what do? We back out. We get some space because we don't want to be hurt. We don't want to hurt. Well, long suffering is the ability to stay in a relationship with a difficult person so that you can be a benefit, a hope, a source of kindness to them. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that it is the first word that Paul used to describe what love is? In 1 Corinthians 13, that famous chapter, this is what Paul says: love suffers long. It's the first word. Love is makrothumeo. Love is long passion. So if you love someone, you're saying there should be power there to suffer even in a difficult relationship. This spiritual fruit of the Holy Spirit gives a person the ability to do what's right, even with difficult people. God's love enables us to continue showing goodness and kindness even while we ourselves may be in pain doing so. 2 Peter chapter 3 says this: but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and as 1,000 years as one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Some people wonder, why does God wait so long to allow the things in the world to continue to be as they are? Why does he allow injustice? Why does he allow corruption? Why doesn't he just come back and settle this matter and fix everything? Well, he will do that someday, but if he did that today, would everyone that you're concerned about be ready? Or would someone be in a bad state. And if he came now and did what he did now, they may be on the wrong side of what he's coming to do. Can you see in his goodness that God is grieved like he was during the days of Noah with what he sees in the earth? But because he desires for men to come to repentance, he himself suffers long with the things on the earth. This is something that we as believers are to have too. In 2 Peter, same apostle, in his second letter, we can read this, chapter 3. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, to the coming of our Lord, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider this, that the long suffering of God means salvation. Because what if he was not long suffering with you and I? What if he decided he wasn't going to deal with us very long? Would you and I be here? No, if he was quick to deal with sin and unrighteousness, if he did not suffer long, we might not be here today having hope and even having a relationship with God. So we are to consider his long suffering to be salvation. He's suffering long because he wants men to be saved. And here's an example. Let me take you to an example from the book of James, chapter 5. And this is a fascinating example. I love the word pictures that the apostles use. Therefore, suffer long, brethren. Some of your Bibles may say, you may read, be patient, but it's macrothemia in the original language. Therefore, suffer long, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits hopefully for the precious fruit of the earth, suffering long for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also suffer long and establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And before we go on to the next slide, what does it mean by they suffer? A farmer suffers long for the early and the latter rains. Well, the early rains are necessary for the ground to become soft enough to be worked. You know how in the spring, if it's been a very dry winter, it creates very difficult conditions for planting. And you know, we know someone, maybe people, friends of ours, or maybe relatives of ours, maybe children, it may be a spouse, who knows, but someone whose heart is very hard. Well, there's this beautiful property in water. When you soak things in water, water tends to soften or dissolve hardness. And the farmers would wait for rain to come and soften the earth, and then they would take their plows and they would plow afterwards. Some here in Texas, some of us know this. Before we try to work an area, we soak it with the garden hose. Well, the farmers didn't have necessarily that option, but they, and the latter rains would have been those that helped bring the crop to its quality, to maturity, to finish out the crop. Now let's go on to the rest of the verse. So he goes on. So do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Now, why would we even be tempted as Christians to grumble against one another? Well, I'll tell you why. Because not everybody's as perfect as me. I'm glad you're awake, Joey. I say things like that just to catch him over there. No, you know, I mean, it's obvious. If we're told not to grumble with each other, then it must be presumed that sometimes we'll find difficulty even in a church relating to one another. But the answer is not grumbling with one another. What is the answer? Behold, the Lord is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Take them as an example. Indeed, we count them blessed to endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Now let's break this down. In the story of Job, it says you have seen the end. What was the end of the story of Job? How did the story of Job end? When did Job's situation finally turn around? You remember?
The end of the book.
Huh? No, it finally turned around. The Lord healed Job after he did something.
He prayed for his friends.
He prayed for his friends. What friends? What had his friends been doing, Ava? They had been criticizing him. They had been making his life even more miserable, falsely accusing him and not understanding the test that he was in. They were making his life miserable. But look at the end of Job. What's the end of Job? The Lord did not have Job condemn his friends. The Lord had Job pray for his friends. And they were spared, and he was healed. Isn't that beautiful? Consider the end of Job. The Lord is merciful and kind. And also, furthermore, that it said, we read earlier, to said, consider the long suffering. Next slide. Consider the long suffering and evil suffering of the prophets. Two words: evil suffering and long suffering of the prophets. Now, think about the prophets. Who caused the prophets to suffer? Who was it? What caused the life of the prophets to be so difficult? The people they were speaking to. It's God's people that were making the life of the prophet difficult because God's people weren't living the way that God had directed them. And so when the prophets would seek to bring correction and speak for the Lord to his people to try to turn them around, the people reacted in ways that made the prophets very, very unpopular. And they caused it. So do you see? Now, if you and I had no relationship with anyone that's difficult, can we be long-suffering? If we surround ourselves with people who only think like we do, only act like we do, who never rub us the wrong way, who never challenge us, who are not difficult in any way, we're not doing anything different than the sinners are. Sinners love sinners. Drunks love drunks. Tax collectors love tax collectors. That's what Jesus said. They love each other. But God is kind to the wicked and the ungrateful. Wow, what amazing. Take a look at this. You remember our Lord on the cross? What was his attitude towards the people who had literally rejected him, forced him into the situation where he was scourged and beaten almost to death by the Romans, forced to carry his cross up Golgotha, laid upon it, and raised up there, humiliated? And what was his attitude? Father, forgive them. Them, the people who he knew were doing this to him. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, Jesus suffered long to save us. And this is our example, how we are to be with others. We are to suffer long for others. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul writing to the church of Ephesus. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all lowliness and gentleness, and with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring. So what should our attitude be when there is that brother or sister in the church who has this way about them that we tend to say, there they go again? Or when we see them, we think, they always, or here they come. Let me ask you, if our Lord were that way towards any one of our faults, would he have a relationship with us? Do you see what loving others like Christ loved us calls for us? That means that we are to actually suffer and be willing to forbear with areas in our brothers and sisters that are not finished yet. And you know what's a beautiful thing? I'm not asking us to put on rose-colored glasses. Certain people have difficult habits, you know? I mean, it's hard to watch people do certain things, you know? You know, it's not pleasant. You don't have to pretend you're not seeing it. It's not. But can you have some hope? Do you have to consign them to this attitude or they're just that way and they'll never change? That's not love. That's not love. If you just consign them because you think you know them accurately, well, yeah, maybe they have been that way for 10 years. Does that mean you should give up hope? How long was Paul the enemy of the church? Think about that. Before he became one of the great apostles, 13 of his letters we have in our New Testament. Colossians chapter 3, a letter to the church of Colossae. Paul wrote this, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies and kindness and humility and meekness and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." So let's put it this way. Let's say you're coming to me to tell me of the complaint that you have against another person here in the church. And before you even finish telling me what the complaint is, I say, you know, you need to forgive them. Wait a minute, I haven't told you what they've done. Will that make a difference? Go ahead and finish telling me. And then you know what I'm going to tell you after you finish telling me? Forgive them. Doesn't it say, whatever, if anyone has a complaint against another? Whatever the complaint is, we forgive. This is our calling as Christians. And if we showed the world how to relate to one another in this way, then we wouldn't have the poor testimony that we have with some people. And there wouldn't be these things called church splits and broken relationships that have happened. These things are not a clear indicator that Christ Jesus is with us. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I mentioned Paul. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief." The reason Paul considered himself the chief sinner is because he literally tried to oppose the church and put people to death who believed in Jesus Christ. Now, why would Jesus Christ choose a person like that to be an apostle? It says that in me first, Jesus Christ might show his all long suffering. Wow. Jesus Christ showed his long suffering to the public enemy number one of the church. How beautiful. As an example of how we are to be towards those who might create difficulty for us. 2 Timothy chapter 4. "Preach the word." This is Paul's instruction to Timothy. "Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching." It's interesting. He knew Timothy was a leader in the church. So he couldn't tell him just to teach. He had to tell him, "Timothy, get ready to suffer long with God's people." That needs to be the attitude of every mature believer here. The younger ones make messes. Sometimes the older ones too. I have a 29-year-old daughter who can make a mess in a diaper that my wife is a saint to be able to clean up. She drools over clothes on the way to church. Mom can dress her up in the nicest things, and by the time we get here, it's soaking wet. And my wife loves that girl. And that girl loves my wife. It's a beautiful thing to see. 7 days a week. You know, we tend to shy away and shield ourselves from awkwardness. And that's why sometimes people that have these issues in their lives find themselves very alone, rather than having a friend there to show love and compassion. It's a beautiful thing when someone has this long suffering at work in their heart. Paul knew that Timothy would need it, because he said, "Paul, Timothy, the time's coming when men are not going to put up with sound teaching, but they're going to turn their ears away from the truth, and they're going to gather to themselves teachers to say things they want to hear." Wow. So he knew Timothy was going to experience some of the same thing the prophets did.
Wow.
You know, it's interesting. I believe adultery is wrong. I believe fornication is wrong. I believe taking drugs illegally is wrong. I believe drunkenness is wrong. I'm not going to be shy about that. And if someone's doing those things, I'm not going to treat him as a person that's in good standing with Christ. I'll doubt they're even a Christian. That doesn't make me very popular. You know, someone never in worship, someone that has no love for the Scripture, someone has no life of prayer, I don't believe they're a Christian. And I'll tell them that. Even if they've been baptized, even if they can wave a certificate of what happened in their life when they were 7 or 8 years old. Because I believe that if you're in Christ and you live in Christ, you are led by His Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Sometimes when you're that honest, it can get you in trouble. Who are you to tell me I'm not a Christian? Well, I'm just a person who reads the Bible. I'm just a person who believes that what the apostle said was true. Jesus himself said, "Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, will they? But only those who do the will of my Father which is in heaven." Paul knew Timothy was going to face this, and so he encouraged him. Suffer long with God's people, Timothy. You might have some difficulty in dealing with them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is to members of the church. That was to Timothy. This is to members of the church. Let's call this First University Park, chapter 5, okay? So Paul is writing this to us, okay? This is our letter. We received it from the Apostle Paul. Let's see what he tells us. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and do this, suffer long with all." There may be various things different one needs, but here's what everybody needs. Everybody needs us to suffer long with each other. That's what we need to do. This fruit of the Spirit. "See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for both ourselves and for all." Let's go back to that beautiful chapter of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Remember, the first description of love is love suffers long. Remember the last description, the end of the description? Love hopes all, or believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. You see, in order to be able to believe and to hope and to endure, we must be willing to suffer in certain relationships. Because these things are not going to be true only in people that we are in perfect agreement with already, or people who are like us. This is a formula for unity of a very diverse people. And that's what makes Christian unity dynamic, is that we can be so different and we're still one. We can be different racially, we can be different ethnically, we can be different gender-wise, we can be different economically, we can have different backgrounds, and we can still be one and relate to one another properly in spirit.
Amen.
That's what's beautiful. Matter of fact, this suffering long goes back to the new commandment. If love suffers long, remember the new commandment? At the Last Supper, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you." What's the one new commandment? That you love one another as I have loved you. Did Jesus suffer long with his disciples? Remember what he would say to them sometime? Do you still not believe? Oh, ye a little faith. You know, how long will I be with you? Yes, he suffered long, even with his disciples, just like he suffers long with us. It's interesting. By this loving one another in this way, this is the way all men know you are my disciples. It's not by believer's baptism. It's not by public profession of faith. It's not by the correct set of doctrines you post on the internet. It's not by the right things you claim to believe. What clearly identifies that you are a follower of Christ is that you have the power of His Spirit to love other people like He loved them. That's how the world knows we're Christians. So we love. And if we fail at that, we are failures even if we fill the pews. We're failures even if our Sunday school attendance is growing. But when we succeed in loving one another, we give a chance for the world to see what a genuine Christian is like.
Yes.
That's how they can tell. We love like Christ loved. We are clearly His disciples.
Amen.
The ability to suffer long like Jesus. Go to the next slide if you would. Because if we only love those who love us, we are no different than any other city, other sinner. Becoming like Jesus involves learning to suffer long with others like He suffers long with us. You remember the parable? Let me end with this. Remember the parable of Jesus gave about this? And He said two men both owed money. One man owed a lot. Another man owed just a little. Both men were forgiven their debts. Jesus asked, who do you suppose is the most grateful? The one who had the most, who owed the most. I mean, of course. Well, Jesus said this to He said this in a situation where He had been invited to the Pharisee's house. And they were real disturbed because this sinful woman, known to be a harlot, had broken in and invited herself toward the end of the dinner and fallen at His feet and was weeping. And her tears were literally washing the dirt off of His feet. And she started wiping His feet with her hair. And everyone else was appalled. Those sitting around, Pharisees, religious people, they were appalled. And they said, if this man knew what type of person this was, he wouldn't be letting her touch him this way. And that's when He gave that example. And He turned and He gave the example of the two men forgiven the debt, He said, this woman, she had much sin, much to her is forgiven. He who has been forgiven much, He said, loves much.
Wow.
He who has been forgiven little, loves little. You know why some of us don't suffer long with others? Because we think we have it all together. And we don't think they should be like they are. We are proud. We are proud, pharisaical, judgmental, legal, religious people. If we love others like Christ loved them, we are spiritual, humble, godly, loving disciples. Because we have not forgotten how much our Lord Jesus Christ forgave us. And we treat others with the kind of mercy and compassion we ourselves received. That just shows that we remember. We remember how much we were forgiven. All right? That's long suffering. That's what it means to be long suffering. And you know how we can have this restored to us? See, it's a fruit of love. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Love empowers us, enables us to do this. So you know what the answer is for us? We need to ask
to be filled with the Spirit. In this way, Lord, we need your Spirit to love people in this way. To overcome our natural aversion to pain and awkwardness and be filled with the mind and the heart of Jesus Christ. So just join with me, would you? Join with me and just ask. Let's ask the Lord together for this.